Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just give him a praise? Let's praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We give you the honor and the glory. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you, God. None like you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, worship team, so much for being here. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You guys can go ahead and be seated. Jesus. So tonight, perfect, thank you. We have a special guest speaker, I'm talking about Holy Spirit, but he brought David with him too. Ha! You tonight are just God's microphone, magnifying his voice. So I just release over you the word of the Lord tonight. Thank you, God. We position ourselves to receive all that you have. I pray for all distractions to be laid down, laid aside, and broken off in the name of Jesus. We set our attention and our focus completely and wholly on you tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord, for you alone are worthy. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I am going to ask my friend, and your friend too, you can have him as a friend too. David McDonald is here all the way from South Carolina. And if you've never been to South Carolina, it is about a million hours of flying to get here. It's a long flight to get here. So we appreciate you being here. I do want to say most of y'all know who he is. If you don't, I'll actually let him talk about himself a little bit if he wants. But I want to tell you this. This is the only thing I want you to know. In my experience, over the last few years, David is not only an apostle, but a prophet in the body. And anytime that he has come into this house, things have shifted. When the word of the Lord is released over us and we respond to what he's saying, I have seen shift upon shift upon shift, and not just small shifts. Big shifts in the body, big shifts in my life personally, and I'm sure in many of yours as well. And so would you just welcome David McDonald here tonight? Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. God is good all the time. All the time. Just say all the time. God is good all the time. All the time. In actual fact, when you fly from South Carolina and you fly to Alaska, it's like flying to South Africa. Same, I'm telling you, it's the same time. You know, you spend 15 hours flying to South Africa, you spend 15 hours coming all the way to Alaska. I'm serious. And so, but it's a blessing and a refreshing to be here. Amen. And I believe that as a church and as a youth group, young adults, youth, whatever you want to call them, you guys are at a place, you're on the cusp of a supernatural breakout, I'm telling you. There is fire in the house, amen? And I'm just looking around and I'm thinking, wow, some of these people on the platform that were playing tonight just 5 years ago when I started Cameo, 6 years ago, those guys were just little kids and running around giving me paintings and stuff. And now you're playing on the keyboard. It's like, whoa, you know, and some of these guys, and so I'm just so impressed by what I'm seeing here, because I see like this amazing generation of revivalists emerging in this hour. Amen. Come on. And so I want to encourage you, don't stop knocking on heaven's door. Don't stop pushing in and pushing in and pushing in with God, because when you start pushing into God, He starts to push back, not in a bad way, but He starts to release what's on Him into your life. Amen. Come on. And so what I feel in my spirit this week, that God is going to shift you even greater. There's a greater shift coming in the house. There's greater alignment coming to what God is doing on the earth. Amen. Come on. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Listen with both ears. Take notes. You know, I don't know if you're taping this, but get this on a CD. I don't know if you do CDs anymore, but I mean, it's like, I don't know who does CDs anymore, but just buy something that they've got. Amen. And so get it and listen to it and download it in your spirit. So Father, right now we thank you for a night, God, where we could meet with you, God, where you can download, Lord, you just download amazing stuff in our life. You're downloading things. God, you're bringing us into alignment. God, you're thrusting us out into the new and the fresh like never before. God, I thank you that you never work with old wine. You're always looking for the new wine. God, I thank you that it's not old fire and human fire or flesh fire, but flesh fire, it's fresh fire. There's a big difference between flesh fire and fresh fire. Father God, we want the fresh fire to fall in our lives. Lord, I thank you. You want to thrust us into the new. So Lord, tonight we pray for a prophetic presence. God, we pray for prophetic mapping. We pray for prophetic insight and IQ, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So tonight I'm probably going to touch on two things, because I really believe what I'm sensing in my spirit, God is releasing a spirit of courage. 2020 for you is going to be the year of courage. It's going to be the year of you going into the unknown. God wants to take the church out of the areas of comfort into the areas of the unknown. Faith is supposed to take us to levels that we've never been before. We don't live by sight, we live by faith. And I want to encourage these young people that in this season of your life, you've got to be courageous. There's a courage that's missing in the body of Christ. How many of you know that passivity is the devil's babysitter? That's like a new revelation to me. Passivity is the devil's babysitter. And when we become passive, what we actually do, we invite depression and oppression into our lives because we're passive. We've lost the ability to fight the good fight. We've lost the ability to be passionate. We've lost the ability to produce. And God wants us to be a producing church. God wants us to be a church that's going to be so full of life, and we invigorate and inspire people. When last did you inspire somebody else? When last did you speak a word that actually got somebody back into faith and got back into vision? Amen. Come on. I'm not just speaking about another message. I'm speaking about the fact that you're so full of the power of God that wherever you go, you create an ecosystem. Come on, man. It's like we need to start realizing that everywhere we go, we create this amazing ecosystem of God. The power of God in me. We just sang a song. That last song, whoever picked it, God bless you, because that's a prophetic song. The fire of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God on the inside of me. The Spirit of God on the inside. Just say that with me. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God on the inside of me. The Spirit of God on the inside of me. The Creator of the universe on the inside of me. The Creator of the universe. Come on, just say that with me. The Creator of the universe. Say the Creator of the universe. Living on the inside of me. Come on, I create an ecosystem. Everywhere you go, you're like little hothouses. Amen. And everybody that comes in contact with you comes in contact with the power of God. Yeah. Comes in contact with the life of God. And so I don't want to speak about that tonight, but I just want to tell you, when I come into an atmosphere, you guys, it's like, this is like a bakery. You guys have been baking some stuff. Come on. You've been baking some bread in the house. You've been baking. The ovens are hot. I can smell the smell of fresh bread. Come on. You guys have been pursuing God. How many of you have been pursuing God? Both hands, both feet. I'm in pursuit of God. I'm in pursuit of God. Come on. I'm in pursuit of God. I'm courageous. I'm full of courage. I'm full of boldness. I'm full of faith. Amen. Come on. And so tonight, I'm probably going to touch on two things, but the one thing I want to touch on is that I want to ask these young people a question. And I'll give you a prize if you can answer me the question. How many of you know, now I want you to listen, some of these young people over here now, in the Middle East, now when I speak about the Middle East, I'm speaking about Jordan, Israel, Egypt, Iran maybe, are they part of the Middle East? You know, that's, I don't know a lot about them, but in the Middle East, there's something that they are afraid of. They're more afraid of this substance than any other thing that you can be afraid of. If I come to Alaska, what would I be afraid of? Mosquitoes? Are you afraid of mosquitoes? What else would I be afraid of if I came to Alaska? Mosquito did not come into my mind immediately. What would I be afraid of? Bears. Why? What else would I be afraid of? If you went to Africa, what would you be afraid of? Mosquitoes. What's the thing with mosquitoes? And he's right. You would be afraid of mosquitoes because in Africa, more people die from malaria than any other thing that could kill you in Africa. So that's right. Amen. Come on. He's not wrong, but he's right. But how many of you can tell me that what is it in the Middle East that they are more afraid of than mosquitoes? Yes. Jesus, help us. Help me, Jesus. Say, I live by faith. Just say that. I live by faith. Just say that. I live by faith. I live by faith. Not by sight. The viruses of the world have no effect on me in Jesus' name. But I like what you said, but it's not the coronavirus. It's something else. Can I tell you what it is? In the Middle East, contractors and builders and architects are afraid of the mustard seed. In this little holder, I've got some mustard seeds. Because in the Middle East, they build with sandstone. And if one mustard seed falls into the foundation of what they're building and they don't see it, because how many of you know that the mustard seed found in the Middle East is white? It's a see-through color. And I've got some mustard seeds and we're going to send this little thing around so you can actually see what a mustard seed looks like. And the Bible says if you had faith as big as a mustard seed, God says that when a mustard seed is planted, it brings forth a great tree. It's one of the trees. It's one of the herb family that actually becomes a tree. And so if they don't see the mustard seed fall into the foundation over a period of time, when that mustard seed starts to germinate, it'll actually push a whole building down. And so what they do on a regular basis when they're building, they go around with vacuums and vacuum cleaners and they vacuum out the foundation continuously so that there's no mustard seeds. And God is saying, if you go to Matthew, just go to Matthew with me. It says the kingdom of heaven, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. It says something very powerful. It says, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Say mustard seed. Say like a mustard seed. Which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it's grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Can I propose something to you tonight? Can I propose that you start to get an image in your spirit about the fact that you are a mustard seed in the hand of God? And if he can just get you to be planted in your culture, in your society, in your sphere of influence, that something supernatural will start to happen through you and in you in this area of faith. You are a mustard seed. Can you imagine the power that this little seed has?
that big corporations are afraid, architects are afraid, people are afraid of a little mustard seed because they know if the mustard seed got in the foundation, come on church, can you imagine if you got into the foundation of your culture? You see, we know how to dominate, but we don't know how to culturize. And if we can get these young people to realize you have the power, you have the anointing, you have the anointing, you have the ability, you have the power, you have the ability, you have the anointing, you are a mustard seed, you are a mustard seed. We want to plant you. We want to get you into your society. We want to get you into the foundation of every area of your life. And we want to say, grow, O mustard seed. Go and become all you can be. Because we know that if you have the faith and the anointing and the understanding and the vision, you can destroy the cultures that are trying to destroy you. Come on, you need to start to become courageous and say, in this season, 2020 is going to become the season of my courage. I'm going to see courage rise up in this season, and I'm going to get planted in the culture of my day, and I'm going to start to grow into the things of God. Come on, church, we've got to understand the great effect you have on your culture. We've got to become cultural architects. We've got to allow the mapping of the Holy Ghost. God says, I want to superimpose my anointing. I want to superimpose my desire, my plans over the church. You know what the word superimpose means? To take a photograph and you superimpose it over another photograph and it looks like there's 10 people, but you superimpose them. You took another photograph and you actually melted it into another photograph and it wasn't the original, but you just made it look like the original. And God says, I'm about to do some things in your life in this season. You've got to understand something, that God is moving. I'm telling you, there are revivals happening around the world. Revivals happening in Europe right now. There's revivals happening. It's like amazing move of God. We've had more invitations this year than any other year. I'll be in Egypt. I'll be in Belgium. I'll be in Portugal. I'll be in the UK, Scotland, Wales. We're going to Australia. We're going to South Africa. There's amazing stuff happening. And it's like, come on. I want to tell you, you need to start to say, God, I know that I'm not just going to talk about miracles, but I'm going to be the miracle. I'm going to bring the miracle. I'm going to administrate. It's like the presence of God. How many of you know that nothing is going to happen on the earth in the church unless we understand the supernatural age we're living in? Let me say that again. Nothing's going to happen in your world, in your church, in your city, in your state, unless you understand that we need to become a supernatural culture. The power of God. These young people need to be operating in the power of God. Amen. Come on. The Lord of the Rings are nothing to what you have. The Lord of the Rings are like, it pales in comparison to what the church has. Because we haven't been teaching that you can actually go and raise somebody from the dead. We haven't been teaching that the fact that you can actually operate in an amazing level of the supernatural. Come on. We've got to understand the power. The Spirit of God is hovering over you right now. The Spirit of God is in you, but it's like the Spirit of God is waiting for you to say, okay, I'm in agreement with you. I'm in agreement with God. I'm in agreement with the Holy Ghost. I'm in agreement with faith. I'm in agreement with boldness. I'm in agreement with God's Word. I'm in agreement with every promise that's in this Bible. I'm in agreement with God. Amen. Come on. It's almost like we're waiting for something to happen. God says, no, you're actually the effect that I'm waiting for. You're actually the effect. You're actually the person that carries the thing that can affect everything. So you're the effect that the world's waiting for. You're actually the action. You're actually the atom that needs to bust open. Does that make sense? It's like you're the guy that actually controls the atoms. Haven't thought about that, eh? Yeah, mate. Haven't thought about that. That you actually can actually change things at a cellular level. You have the ability to change things at a cellular level. That you actually cause things to actually break off or actually become attached to. Amen. Come on. Jesus changed water into wine. That's a whole big science experiment right there. And God says, but you know what? The church, you the people, you can actually do that stuff. You can actually create all sorts of things. You can become a co-creator with me. You can actually become a co-producer with me. But you don't know what you carry yet because you still have a survivor mentality. You're waiting for the rapture. I don't want to mess up your doctrine or your theology on rapture, but we're all waiting for the rapture and we get nothing done because we're just waiting for Jesus to rapture us. And Jesus says, you're like a mustard seed. You're like a mustard seed. And I want you to I actually want to place you in the foundation. We speak about the seven mountains of influence. I'm so tired of hearing about it because I'm listening to the seven mountains of influence, but at effect. We speak about government and we speak about family and we speak about all these different things and it's all great preaching stuff. But we seldom see any results. Come on. And so I want to take you to Samuel and I want to show you what happens when somebody, his name's David, when David said, and by the way, who's going to be my mustard seed policeman? Come, you can be my mustard seed policewoman. And I want to make sure all these kids see these mustard seeds. Make sure you get my mustard seed holder back with all the mustard seeds. So pass it around. I want them to see everybody in this church. I want you to have a look at a mustard seed. And I want you to say, God, I thank you that I have enough faith to become that mustard seed in my community, in my school, in my university, in my city, in my culture, in my state, in my government. God, I want to be found in the foundation stones of my community so that I can influence them. Let's go quickly to 1 Samuel. And let me get my new glasses. Hallelujah. New glasses. This is like the Rolls Royce of glasses. I've just broken the Rolls Royce. Please help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at that, man. Okay, so yeah, we have an amazing story. We all know a story about David. We all realize that David, in actual fact, when you study the life of David, he stood out in the crowd. David always stood out. Even when he was looking after the sheep, he stood out in the crowd. He stood out so well because of his desire and his passion to pursue God that God couldn't leave him alone. Let me say that again. David knew how to pursue God so much so that God could not leave David alone. And I'm telling you, I want to propose this to you, that when we come to a place where we are so passionate about the kingdom of God, that God cannot leave you alone. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter where you are. It's like God is hovering over you. Favor follows you. It's like you just like, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. It's like you are so intense. You are passionate about God. So much so that God can't leave you alone. And there's a generation, I'm telling you, that God is raising up in this season that is not leaving alone. God can't leave them alone. He can't ignore them. He can't leave them alone. He is passionate. He is pursuing them. It's like he's pouring everything into them because they pour everything into him. It's like he is so excited because at last he found a generation that has a desire for him, that is uncompromising, that has a boldness, that has a faith that's never been seen on the earth before. And God says, I like these people. I love them. I can't get my eyes off them. Come on, man. When you worship and you think that God is like, oh, I've heard that song before. God says, I love them to worship me. I can't leave them alone. It's like a little child. It's like my granddaughter. She's 18 months. I've got two of them. One's 3 years old. One's 18 months. I can't leave them alone. I just want to touch them and pull their skin and kiss them and smell their hair. And I just want to just be around them. I just want to kiss them and blow bubbles on them. And you know what that means? It's just like you pull their little shirts up and you just kiss them. I can't leave them alone. It's like my daughter-in-law has to pull them out of my grip. When When last did that ever happen to you? That you nobody can get your time. Nobody can get your attention because God's got you and He's holding you, and you're so absorbed in Him. That's the generation God's looking for. That's the people God's looking for. And when I look and read about David in this scripture in 1 Samuel 17, it says that David had to go down. First of all, he's looking after the sheep. And then his dad says, hey, by the way, in verse 17, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephod and this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand and see how your brothers fare and bring back some news of them. Now, can I just tell you, it's not by the way. He had to run into a battlefield with a whole bunch of cheese and biscuits to tell people about and then get some news to take back. It takes courage to get on the battlefield, even with cheese and biscuits. And some of you thinking that your convergence into ministry is going to be glorious and it's going to be so stately and it's going to be so famous. And God says, no, I'm about to launch you into your ministry, and it's not going to be so glorious or famous. It's going to be actually very hard for you to do, but I'm going to launch you without the funfare. You're going to say, well, I just brought the team some cheese and biscuits. And God says, I'm setting you up for destiny and purpose. Amen. Come on. How else was God going to get him on the battlefield? He was so faithful looking after sheep that he had to be obedient to his dad. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone. But his dad sends him down there, and it says here, he arrives on the battlefield, and guess what he hears? He hears all this stuff happening. He hears this Philistine just shouting and talking nonsense. How many of you know that the Philistine Goliath was talking slap? You know what that means? Goliath was talking slap. Now, I'm glad you know what that means. Talking slap, it means somebody's just giving you the lip, and it means that if they talk long enough, you're going to give them a slap. Amen? Come on. Talking knockdown stuff. You know what I'm saying? You keep on talking like that, I'm going to slap you. And David arrives there and realizes that there's something wrong. He's not seeing these guys. Listen to me. He's not seeing these people actually responding well. He's not seeing the armies of God responding well. He sees an army that's supposed to be responding well, responding badly, because they've forgotten their covenant with God. Listen to me. We can sit in church all day long, every year for the next 100 years, and actually forget who we are. We can become so sensitized to the presence of God that Jesus had come in there 15 times and we wouldn't even recognize who was Jesus. Can I say that again? We can become so insensitized with the presence of God that Jesus can come in the room 25,000 times in a day and we wouldn't be able to recognize Him because we become insensitized to the glory of God. Come on. I've seen it happen. Been there, done that, burn a t-shirt. Amen. And so let me just keep on reading because it gets gooder. And so it says, and then his brothers, from verse 28 to verse 29, just start to rebuke him and say, why did you come down here? Who have you left those miserable sheep with? And by the way, it was their sheep he was looking after. It says, and now your pride and your insolence. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? I want you to write that down somewhere on your book, in a book, on your forehead, on your hand. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause in your life for you to be here tonight to hear the word of the Lord? Is there not a cause for your life to be part of what God is doing on the earth right now? You were born for such a time as this, and I pray tonight that you would start to understand that there is a cause, there's a destiny and a purpose in your life. Don't allow anybody tell you whether because you're so young or you look young or you're just a youth or you're just a young man, don't allow anybody to tell you that you're going to have to wait until you're older for you to fulfill your destiny, because according to the power and the Spirit of God, there's no age limit. There's not a 3-year-old Holy Ghost. There's not a 13-year-old Holy Ghost. There's not a 15-year-old Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Ghost. That means you have the same appointment, you have the same anointing, you have the same ability, and everything else I carry, you carry. Come on. And we see people just say, well, they're just young people. They don't know any better. Let me tell you, we're going to see a revelation, a revolution of revelation and revival come out of these young people that will astound the world. It's happening right now. In Brazil, all over in Brazil. I don't know if you saw what happened in Brazil, in Germany, in Prague, in places like that. There were 60, 70,000 young people worshiping God without an abandonment. They were just abandoned to God because for the first time in their generation, somebody told them they can. And that's all they want to hear. Yes, you can. 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 Every day of your life, you should be able to tell your kids you have a purpose and you have a calling and you have a destiny. You have a gifting. You have a purpose. You have a calling. Every day. Every day. Say every day. Every day. Every day. Instead of telling them, well, you're just a little jerk and you'll never amount to anything and, you know, just you don't have any brains. I know what parents, how people, parents speak to their parents, to their kids. Instead of speaking to them in like that, say, hey, you know what? We're going to revive you. We're going to call you into your cause. We're going to call you into your destiny. Yes. And little David arrives on the battlefield. First of all, it took courage for him to get to the battlefield with some cheese. Yep. Like, I don't have a sword. I don't have a spear. I don't have nothing. I just got cheese and biscuits. Comes on the battlefield and something just explodes on the inside of him. When the minute he stepped onto that battlefield and he saw the scenario playing up in front of him and he heard the uncircumcised Philistine speaking all the junk he was speaking, something rose up on the inside of him. Hallelujah. Did you all see what a mustard seed looks like? Not a big rock. Not like a pumping seed. A little mustard seed. And God says, if you can become like a mustard seed, I can do things through you. I carry this thing with me all the time. The last one broke, so I had to buy a new one. Because every now and then I have to pull it out and say, yes, God, I thank you that I'm a mustard seed planted in the foundations of my generation. Sort of prophesy over yourself. And here comes David. And so suddenly he starts to hear, hey, what can be done for this guy that's going to kill this dude? And so they reported him to Saul. And then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go out against the Philistine to fight. How many of you have heard? This is verse 20. Let me put my new glasses on. This is verse 33. You are not able. You are but a youth. You're not able to do anything. You're too young to understand. Who do you think you are? Hello? People said that to me when I was in ministry. I started off in ministry and people said, who do you think you are? We know who you are. You were that racism guy. You were that guy that was part of the neo-Nazi organization. Who do you think you are? You can't chase anything. Since when do you think Jesus loves you? I had to battle all those battles. I had to find the courage. I had to find the faith. I had to find the boldness to say, no, I'm a child of God. Greater is he in me than he that is in the world. I had to take my position in the little city that I grew up in. It's like, whoa, nobody wanted to give me an opportunity. And some of you have grown up in cities and places where people know you. They've known you for 100 years, your families and your aunts and your uncles, and you have this weird reputation, and nobody wants to trust you, but God can trust you. Hello? There's some of you here that will do great exploits for God, I'm telling you. Some of you sitting here that will cause revivals. Some of you here that will cause mass revivals, like city-wide revivals, like nation-wide revivals. And they'll say, wow, you know what? That guy was at Peter's Creek. That guy came to our church, Bridge of Hope. We know that dude. Wow. Amen? Come on. It's amazing when you started touching nations, everybody wants to be your friend. But when you arrive at the battlefield with cheese and biscuits, nobody likes you. But your day is coming. And so because it says here, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. But you see, God doesn't care about stuff like that. God can make you great in one day. God can give you the anointing you need in 1 hour. God can give you the stuff you need in 5 minutes. You don't have to be a man of war from youth. You just have to step onto the battlefield ready to do whatever God wants to do. In other words, you have to just find your position. God, I'm going to find my position. I'm going to get in my lane, and I'm going to understand my assignment, and I'm going to run in my lane. And God says, the minute you ask me for your assignment, come on, how many of you know what, how many of you realize that people are confused between their calling and their assignment? What's your calling? Mark 16, that's your calling. Say Mark 16. What does it say in Mark 16? Now I'm asking the youth, what does it say in Mark 16? Mark 16, what does it say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Drive out demons. That's Mark 16. That's your calling. That's just the natural thing that all of us are called to do. But then God says, I'm going to give you an assignment. And your assignment is you're going to start to bring a revival and a freedom amongst the young women in your school and in your generation. And you're going to see young women come into their identity and they won't be ashamed anymore. And you're going to break shame off young women in your society. You're going to break shame off young people. Come on. That's your assignment. We all have an assignment. Some of us don't know what our assignment is. Your assignment is not being part of a membership. Your assignment is being part of the kingdom. So we just want to plug into everything that's easy. Well, I hear people, just yesterday I had a conversation with somebody. I said, oh, when are you going to travel with me? They said, well, I'm just waiting for the will of God. I said, brother, at the end of the day, God wills for you to go into all the world. You see, we're all waiting for the peace of God. God says, I've already given you peace. I've already made a way for you. I've said go into all the world. What are you waiting for? And so we put all these different things in place and we think it's all spiritual. And it's really disobedience. It's disobedience. You just don't want to go into the battlefield. Because in your mind you think, well, if I go into the battlefield, I need a javelin. God says, no, all you need is a stick. All you need is you just need a stone, and I'll give you the victory. Because it's going to get gooder, I promise you. And David said to Saul, listen to this. He said, after Saul says, you can't do anything. He says, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. You see what he says, used to? Something just changed in that young man's life. I used to. Not I'm going back to sheep. I used to keep the sheep. In other words, he knew something was about to shift. Come on, man. How many of you have read that before and read that and never seen that before? And when you read it and suddenly it just jumps out and say, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Now let me just tell you something. Some of you are trying to kill Goliath and you haven't killed your lion and your bear yet. But I'm telling you, there's a generation that God's going to teach. God's going to teach you how to kill the lion and the bear. You've got to start to figure out what is the lion and the bear in your life that's keeping you from moving into your destiny. You've got to kill the lion and the bear first before you can kill Goliath. Well, Pastor David, what are you actually saying? I'm actually glad you asked the question. Because the lion and the bear can be offense. It can be doubt. It can be fear. It can be unforgiveness. The lion and the bear can be a multiple group of things that have just been a resistance to you. You've got to kill those suckers. You've got to destroy the lion and the bear so that you can kill Goliath. And you know what? Remember what I said when I started off here? 2020 is going to be the year of courage for you. God's going to start to build courage in your children, in your youth, in your lives, in your leaders. I'm telling you, great courage is going to start to come up on the inside of you. And you're going to go back and you're going to take back the wells. You're going to take back the treasures. You're going to take back the lives of the people that used to come to this church. God says, I'm going to give you great victory over the things, over the spoil that was stolen from you. Your children, I just see a wave of revival going through this church. And the young men and the young women becoming the young lions. And I see them taking back. And I see them going in and killing the lion and the bear. I used to work in Africa. I was a game ranger. You don't walk up to a lion with prey in its mouth and take it out of its mouth unless you got something wrong in your head. Unless you're like 8 foot tall. You don't walk up to a lion and take something. I don't even know about a bear, but a lion. You don't walk up to a lion and take an impala out of the lion's mouth and then kill it. Hey, I'm just going to take your food out of your mouth. He must have known something. He must have understood the power and the anointing and the faith and the favor and just everything that he was in God. He walked over to a lion and removed the stuff out of the mouth and then killed it. I'm not speaking about some pansy-wansy little boy. I'm speaking about a guy that understood the power and the glory of God. And I'm telling you, that's going to start to happen in your lives. I'm telling you, because of the pressure that's been on this generation, because of all the names they've called you, Generation Z and Generation F and Generation X and all those different things, God says, no, I'm going to put my identity in you, and people are going to start to recognize there's something on your life that they haven't seen before. They're going to start to see a power come back on the young people. And because of where you are situated in this generation, you're going to have the power. You're going to have the courage. I'm telling you, you're going to have more courage than I ever had. Come on. In other words, you're going to be a lot different than your mother and father. You're going to be a lot different than the generations before you. You're going to have to be a lot different. And you're going to have to step up into that place and say, I take full responsibility. And I realize that I'm going to be a mustard seed. I'm going to have to be a mustard seed in my generation. I'm going to have supernatural courage. Come on. Because when he told Saul that, you know what Saul did? Instead of Saul hearing what he did, he said, oh, well, you know what? You still need some armor. This dude just told him, I killed the lion and the bear. I killed the lion and the bear. That would have been enough for me. It's like, okay, you qualified. But what does Saul do? He says, well, you know what? I'm going to have to put some stuff on you. Verse 38, it says, so Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with coats of mail. David fastened his sword to his tried to walk, but he could not, and for he had not tested them. Can I tell you something right now, young people? Wearing another man's anointing is not your purpose. Wearing another man's helmet, another man's shield, you listen to me, unless you know, you've got to start a test your anointing. Start to test the call of God on your life. You can't wear what I'm carrying. You can't run in my lane. You've got to run in your own lane. We've got to teach you how to use the weapons of warfare. We've got to teach you that worship is a weapon. We've got to teach you that prayer is breakthrough. We've got to teach you how to use the weapons of God's warfare. Come on. You can't use my weapons. You can't use my anointing. I have people coming all the time and say, can I have your anointing? No, you can't have my anointing. God ain't going to fit you. I'm running in my lane. I'm doing my stuff. I can't give you my assignment. You've got to find your assignment. But what we'll do, we'll help you find your assignment. Is this making sense? Yeah. We'll help you to find your assignment so that you can fulfill your destiny and you can kill the Goliaths in your life. Yeah. Don't come try and kill my Goliaths, because I'm not going to get the training to do it. So we're continuously trying to kill everybody else's Goliaths. Just kill your own Goliath. Yeah. I've got enough bears and lions to deal with. You just deal with your own bears and lions. Thank you very much. Amen? Come on. Because what we're trying to do, we try and kill their bears and lions for them. They have never any experience of how to actually kill their own bears and lions. Come on, let's teach them. Hey, listen, we're going to teach you how to draw blood. We're going to teach you how to destroy the work of the devil. We're going to teach you how to pray and how to intercede and how to prophesy and how to sing and how to lay hands on the sick. We want these young guys to know what it is to be men early in their life so they can stand up against this vile spirit of all sorts of deception and perverseness that's coming on the earth. We want to raise daughters and young women that will stand in purity. Come on. Don't be passive in this season. Passivity is the devil's babysitter. And we're not babysitting no devil. We're going to rise up out of that and cause our young men and women to become warlike, intentional, full of faith. Am I speaking to anybody? I'm so tired of whamsy pamsy people in church. All the seeker-friendly junk that's going on. We're not teaching our young men how to pray. We're not teaching our young people that they can prophesy. We're not teaching our young people that they can do great exploits for God, because we just want them to be happy. I don't want you to be happy. I want you to be full of joy. Yes. The joy of the Lord is your strength, not the happiness of whoever. I want you to have the joy of the Lord because you understand what you represent and who you represent. Yeah. And something radical happens with this young man. And I'll end there, and maybe we'll just minister to some people. It says here, And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. That is so profound. I've not tested this stuff. I don't know how this stuff works. I'm used to understanding that trusting God is a greater value than trusting in the arm of the flesh. Amen? Come on. I don't know how this stuff works. I've not tested them. I don't know how this stuff works. So he took them off. Start to take off everything that has encompassed your mind, that has come around your heart. People have said, you can't take the stuff off. Take the doubt off. Take the hurt off. Take all the stuff off. Just start to say, God, just peel me like an onion. I just want to be free. I want to be absolutely free from everything that man has put on me. Amen. You know what the big thing I battled with all of my life was? The fear of man. People said to me, for 18 years, you can't do it. You will never amount to anything. For 18 years, I heard it every single day of my life. You will never amount to anything. It took me years and years and years to get all of that junk out of my spirit, out of my mind, out of my heart, out of my subconscious mind. And I had to say, God, I'm your son. Not born of the flesh. I'm born of the spirit. Amen. Come on. Jesus said to the guy in John chapter 3, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So let me ask you a question. If you're born of the spirit, what supernatural things are happening around your life?
Well, just waiting for Jesus.
You got to get a life, brother. Let me tell you. You're going to have to get a course in how to kill the lion and the bear. We're going to have to teach them how to stand in the fire. We have to teach them how to press in. We're going to have to teach them these things. We want to just give people all sorts of, you can't live on my opinion, sir. You have to live on God's word. You got to live on my revelation. You're going to have to find your own revelation. Amen? Man, I'm passionate about this stuff. Because in the last year, I've been in 12 nations. And I'm telling you, I'm tired of seeing passive peace people, just passive. Hanging around church, complaining about the coffee, complaining about the lights, complaining about the smoke machine, complain, complain, complain. But there's nothing actually happening in your world. Amen? Come on. And I'm telling you, when I walked through that door tonight, God said, you are on the cusp of revival. Yes, if you want to give God a hand, give him a big hand. Now listen to this. And I'm going to end here because this takes courage. Look at your friend tonight and say, this takes courage. Look at your friend. Say, speak it out of your mouth. This takes courage. And listen to what David. And then David took his staff in his hand. How many of you know that David actually heard Goliath? He saw Goliath. But he takes his staff in his hand. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. That takes courage. When you know that your opponent is like 7 foot tall, it takes courage to go down to the brook and look for, when the whole army, all the armies are checking you out. What's he doing now? Well, he got down in the stream. He's picking up some, wow, he's a little. He's picking up stones. Takes courage. Amen? Come on. Takes courage when people look at you and think, he's going to do this, but you're doing the exact opposite. Takes courage. Takes courage to stand up when everybody's talking down. It takes courage. It says, and he put them in his shepherd's bag. How many of you know why he took 5 stones? One was for Goliath and the 4 were for Goliath's brothers. Hello? We speak about the 5. No, he had 5 stones. One was for Goliath and he put 4 in his bag waiting for Goliath's brothers. Because he was ready for those suckers. Amen. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to God, and the man who bore the shield went out before him. Can you see that actually this whole picture looks unfair? You have a little boy, you have a shepherd boy with a sling and a staff, and there you have a dude that's got an armor bearer. Something wrong with that picture. But it took courage. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Hallelujah. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now listen to what David said. And I pray that you will put this in your mouth. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day, say this day, this day, this day, this day. Not like in 10 years, maybe when I'm 21 or when I'm 30, God says, this day, I'm going to give to you the Philistine. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give to you the victory. I'm going to give to you the anointing. This day, I'm going to make you great. This day, I'm going to give you the anointing. This day, just say this day, this day. This day, keep on speaking it. Keep on prophesying. When people say to you, you can't do it, say, no, this day, God has made me. This day, God has said to me, this day, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to become a leader in my generation. What's your name? How old are you? 17. You're in this amazing season of your life where God is going to cause you to become a great leader amongst your peers. Great leader. Great leadership on you. You're just waiting for the right opportunity. Great leadership on you. Great leadership on some of you sitting here. Great leadership on you. God's going to give you great leadership. What's your name? A man? Amir? Well, that's a beautiful name. And I just see that you've come from this, almost like this weird background. Like, God, where's she from? And suddenly God's put you on the map. And I just see you running right into the midst of the enemy and destroying them through your worship and your creative anointing and all the stuff you carry. And you've just been waiting. God, do I really have all the stuff? God says, yes. You've got to start to rise up, write those songs, compose those things, be bold. Come on. God's given you faith like never before. Amen. This young man sitting over here, what's your name? Andrew, full of faith. And God says, I'm causing you to become planted like an oak tree. And I just see you planting yourself and growing into the purposes of God. Great exploits. God says, you'll do great exploits. Stop worrying about what people think about you. It's irrelevant what they think about you, what God thinks about you. You've been on God's heart before the foundation of the world. Amen. Come on. Some of you have been sitting and thinking, oh, I'll never amount to anything. God says, I'm going to start to heal. What's your name? There's healing and restoration and all sorts of things coming on your life. God's going to start to heal you and give you back your identity and purpose. And I see this prophetic thing rising up on you, on your life, and a strength coming back on you. And you're going to start to see God come and restore your family and your family tree and everything that's associated with you. Amen. Come on. There's some of you that have been waiting. Well, God will never use me. Why? Who said that? Who told you that? Who told you that God will never use you? You need to start to ignore that voice and say, no, that's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the devil. Amen. Come on. Fear is the voice of the devil. How many of you know that doubt is darkness? Unbelief is the spirit of darkness. Come on. Unbelief is the spirit of darkness. When you come into this kingdom, you become part of a kingdom of faith and belief and truth. And all of us carry such an amazing seed of God. Amen? Come on. So, Father God, we just pray. Can we just do some apostolic decrees tonight and say, Lord, I decree in the name of Jesus that I'm going for gold. I thank you, Lord. I decree tonight that I'm putting off all this stuff called doubt and fear and unbelief. I put it off me. I'm going to start to look at my children and my youth with new eyes, and I'm going to start to prophesy. I apostolic decree prophetic words over my children that my children will fulfill their destiny in the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. My children will fulfill destiny in Jesus' name. Well, Pastor David, you don't understand. Yes, God understands. You didn't need to start to call your children into their destiny and into their purpose. Amen? Come on. Walk around the house and say, I've got some Davids living in the house. I'm going to start to train my David to go and kill some bears and some lions. Amen? Come on. You need to start to become bold in that. So, Father God, we thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord. Just put some music on or just come and play something on your guitar. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus. You're carrying destiny. That lady over there, are you pregnant? When are you having your baby? May. Okay, quick birth. Quick birth. Amen. Come on. Quick birth. All the ladies love that. Quick birth. Quick birth. But you know that you're carrying destiny in there. That child represents a destiny, a purpose, a plan. It was God's idea, not yours idea. It was God's idea at the right time, at the right moment. So I want to encourage you, even though they're still in the womb, there's destiny, there's purpose that God's woven into that child. Psalms 139, his whole life has been written in books, his destiny, foreordained, predestined to fulfill great things for the kingdom. Amen. Come on. Father God, we thank you that every child sitting here tonight has a purpose, has a plan to fulfill great destiny, great purpose, great destiny. Lord, I break, I destroy, I quench every plan of the devil, every plan of the devil. I thank you, Lord, for angelic visitations. I thank you, Lord, that you would revive dreams, visions, expectation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring revival, revival in this man, young man's subconscious mind, in his emotion, in his feelings, in every area of his life, in the name of Jesus. What's your name? Jabbar, come here. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name? Come. Come. Come stand in front of me. Front of me. Turn around. Turn around. Thank you, Jesus. How old are you? Father, we thank you. You have a warrior spirit. You're anointed to do great exploits. You're always getting in trouble because you're just full of life and just bouncing around the room all the time. Amen. Come on. God wants to use that strength that you have. God wants to start to put stuff in your spirit. God wants to start to stir you up. Amen. Come on. God wants you to lead on the sporting arena like never before. The stuff that you carry in your life. And I'm so grateful because, you know, I just feel in my heart that you and I could be real good friends because you shout for the Panthers. Hallelujah. Great minds think alike. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you've got to start to stir up that thing inside of you. Don't pull back. Because I just feel over a period of time, you've actually pulled back because you're not sure. And God says, tonight I'm making you sure. You can hold the sword. You can hold the shield. You have the heart of a warrior. You can press in. You have got stuff to say. Because in the past, people said, oh, you've got nothing to say. But God says, I'm breaking that off you tonight. Amen. Same with you. What's your name? How old are you? 14 going on 17. Amen. Come on, you've got a fire in your belly. There's a fire in your belly. And sometimes it's like you run and you get excited and then you go and slack off. And God says, I don't want you to slack off. I want you to slack up. I want you to step up. There's leadership on you, brother. Amen. Come on. Stop worrying about the girls. That'll all go away. Oh, forget all about that stuff. Right now, focus on God. And one day when you're old enough, God will give you the person you need. Right now, focus on God. Go and sharpen your sword. Get your shield ready. Say, God, I'm going to run for, I'm going to get in gold. I'm going to get totally committed to God in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. You know why I'm saying this to you? Because that's what you have. Keep your hand on your stomach. What's your name? Nathan? Nathaniel? What is your real name? Nathaniel. You know who Nathaniel was? He was one of the guys that Jesus was so happy about because Nathaniel told Jesus about himself that nobody else knew. Amen? Come on. So there's like this prophetic edge on your life. But you also have this like very high IQ. Like a mathematical, you're like the nutty professor. You have like this amazing mathematical brain, science brain. You have this amazing ability to do well at school. But you don't think that's cool. You think, well, maybe I should just be a dropout. God says, no, you've got to step up and take that position because God's going to use you in the area of education and communication. It's like you're so brainy, you can come up with all sorts of formulas and stuff. Come on. Amen? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Leadership. There's actually a music gift on your life that you've been trying to hide away. Anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed. Anointed. Anointed to great, do great exploits. Come. Come here. Come here. The young lady sitting next to you. Come here. Come. 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 You guys can go and sit down, or you can go and stand behind them and lay hands on them.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, just pick somebody. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. More than enough. Press down. Shaking about. Running over. Amen. Come on. Running over. And you just, the more you press in with God, the more He's not going to be able to leave you alone. And you're going to wake up at night and it's like, oh, Jesus is in my room. Angels, I had like 20 angels in my room last night. And the dreams, you're just going to have like 7, 8, 9 dreams a day. I'm telling you, God's going to start to download some stuff in your life. In Jesus' name. Come on. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. What's your name? Miley, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. How old are you now? 13? There's too many issues right now. It's like you're trying to help everybody else's issues. You've got this issue, that issue. It's like this whole thing of complexity. You are so complex. And God says, I'm going to start to remove some of those issues so that you can live in this place of rest and peace and realize that everything that you're going to touch, God says, I'm going to start to do things through your life. Amen? Come on. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. Anointed. Anointed. You're anointed. Lay hands on your tummy. That's where the power is going to come out of the inmost parts of your belly. Amen? Come on. Say, I'm a giant slayer. I may have not killed a lion or a bear yet, but I've killed some foxes. And I've killed some rabbits. And I've killed some little things. Amen? Come on. She's almost crying. It's like, no! But what I'm actually saying, those are things that we deal with. Like little foxes are things that we deal with in our lives emotionally. And then we kill the lion and the bear. But some people haven't even killed the little foxes. Amen? What's your name? Dalton, how old are you? 17. Come on, you're in this place of understanding some stuff. There's real responsibilities that God's going to start to show you, and you're going to start to step into this place where you say, yes, I can do that. I can do that, because for many months or even for years, you looked from the outside inward and you said, well, let them do it. I'll just stand here and check it out. And God says, no, I want you to lead. I want you to lead the people into a place. I want you to lead your friends. I want you to bring your friends into a place of salvation. Come on. Amen. Do you know that you have an amazing spirit of compassion? Yeah, you're very compassionate. I know you didn't want everybody to hear that, but you're very compassionate and you're very tender in your spirit. And so God wants to use that in this season. Amen? Come on. Some of you parents sitting up here, you think your child's got AD, what's it called? ADHD? They don't have ADHD. They're just revivalists. They're like evangelists. And you're trying to pop pills in their mouth, and God says, no, just pop vision in their mouths. Come on. Some of you little guys sitting here, it's like, my little boy can't sit still. He's just got all this stuff going on. Well, he's an evangelist. He may even be a prophet. Maybe he's been trying to prophesy to you for 10 years. Come on. My kid can't stop speaking. Well, he's trying to prophesy over your life. Come on. If God could use a donkey, he could use a three-year-old. Well, my little kid, he just keeps on talking. No, he's trying to tell you something. Amen. I just prophesy over all these kids that you will make such a nuisance of yourself at your house that your parents will start to hear you. I'm telling you. Some of you parents are like, well, I don't know what to do. Well, just listen. Because God's raising up kids. We went to a church the other day where kids were laying hands on adults and people were falling under the Spirit and getting healed. And these kids were like from 3 to 8. There's a revolution coming. You've got to be ready. Stop throwing water on the gunpowder. Release them a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. So I have all these clay jars down here. I wasn't sure how to do this. I wasn't going to receive an offering tonight, but I feel like I'm supposed to. Obviously not for me, but just to sow into David McDonald Ministries. And so I want to give us an opportunity. And like I said, these jars down here, you can just come put them, you can pick one, put them in there if you want. Somebody will figure it out. So if you're not comfortable with that, there are boxes in the back there in the corners. You can put them in there as well. Right. That is a lot funner. It's true. If you're making out a check, you can write it to BOH, Bridge of Hope, and we will just make a check out to David. So everybody stand up with me. Thank you all so much for coming tonight. We are going to be coming back tomorrow night, Friday night, and Saturday night. And he will be speaking here Sunday morning as well. And so you're welcome to come. I would encourage you, if you are planning on coming, to come to each one, because they do build. He's going to be teaching out of a prophetic manual that is new. He wrote, and I know Papa Che had a little input in there as well. And so, you can just keep coming. I'm going to pray and then let you go. So, Father, thank you for the amazing word tonight, Lord. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you that, Lord, today is the day, Lord, for change. Today is the day, God, where we begin to step into greater destiny and greater calling, that we come alive and realize who we are in you. Thank you for your goodness.